He's involved in a number of businesses.
He's a great role model.
Telling it like it is, giving you both sides of the story. This is Katz at Night.
Great American, a great New Yorker.
Now, here's John Katzimatidis.
This is John Katzimatidis. It's 5 o'clock, and we have a loaded studio again today. But first of all, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, and hopefully there's a nice weekend. In the studio with us is Judge Richard Weinberg.
Good evening.
And how are you, Judge?
Nice to see you.
And Ed Cox. Ed?
Good to be with you, John.
Thank God it's Friday. That's all I can say.
You bet.
And Lydia's here too.
Lydia, holding us up.
Yes, sorry.
And John, I have to tell you, you look wonderful in your tuxedo. You're going.
You look
You're going somewhere
you're
special.
Very
tonight.
Spiffy.
The equivalent of the Pope, the Patriarch, is in New York, and there's a black tie dinner in New York with the Patriarch, and the honorary speaker tonight is Pompeo, Mike Pompeo.
That's wonderful.
And it should be a nice event. And the Patriarch flew in from Constantinople or Istanbul, whatever your preference is. And I guess he'll speak tonight.
Well, if you'd given Ed...
It's a day of religion.
If you'd given Ed and me and Lydia some notice, we'd have dressed up formal tonight as well.
Well, he has a beautiful date, Margo. She looks amazing, so you're a lucky man.
There you go.
Breaking news, WABC.
Before you go to a special dinner, we do have some breaking news on the race for governor in Virginia. Republican Youngkin leads Democrat McAuliffe by 8 points. Could we see New Jersey flip too? Do we have a... Well, we're going to have Jack Cittarelli on the line momentarily. He is the Republican candidate for New Jersey governor. And right there, that race, they are neck and neck. Can you believe
what's neck and neck in Virginia?
No, in Virginia, he's leading by 8 points. In New Jersey, it's neck and neck.
I guess he went from Terry McAuliffe went from +8 to -8. That's
correct.
A 16-point swing. You know what I think? And I'll ask Ed Cox. I think people, New York, Americans in general, are mad as hell, and they can't take it anymore.
Particularly in the suburbs, without Donald Trump on the ticket, the suburbs are now have a buyer's remorse with respect to what they did electing Biden. They're coming back strong.
By the way, we got,
for the Republican candidate.
Another exclusive. I understand President Trump has endorsed Vito Fisella, and we have a copy of the endorsement.
Hi, Staten Island, a place that I truly love. This is your favorite president, Donald J. Trump. I need you to get out and vote for a very, very special guy, Vito Fisella, for Staten Island Borough President. Vito has been a friend of mine for a long time. He's a great guy, and he loves Staten Island. Under the failed leadership of Mayor Bill de Blasio, a disaster, Staten Island has become New York's totally forgotten borough. Shouldn't be that way. It was never forgotten by me. Vito will be a powerful voice against crime. The city crime is through the roof. Vito is going to fight it all the way. He'll fight the radical left's agenda to defund our police, and he will keep Staten Island safe. Vito is the only conservative Republican in the race. He will never let you down. He will never let the city down. He will never let our country down. So, Staten Island, get out and vote for Vito Fisella. He has my complete and total endorsement.
Wow, you heard it. Nobody's heard it before. You heard it first on WABC, and my friend Vito Fisella has sent it to me, and I said, what the heck? Let me play it. Do we have
Well, I have some other breaking news for you, by the way.
Curtis.
Well, Curtis right now, he
How is Curtis? Curtis is supposed to be on our show later on today. A taxi cab hit him.
He flew six feet in the air. The cab did not stop.
And he's at Lenox Hill Hospital right now.
Being treated. He has a fracture. Thank God no internal bleeding, but he will be in a sling. It's just how many lives does he have? I know he's a cat lover, but he's on like number 10 at this point, no?
At least.
I have some other breaking news regarding the vaccine mandate. I've gotten some text messages now from friends that are firefighters. Several firehouses have closed down as a result. About 80% of city municipal employees are vaccinated, but the deadline was exactly 5 o'clock. If you are not vaccinated, you are suspended without pay, and as a result, thousands of cops, thousands of firefighters, EMS workers, sanitation workers.
Suppose we have a fire.
That's the real question. We have a real crisis looming in this. And the other thing that people are not talking about is that a lot of the police are now putting in their retirement. So if the combination of putting in retirement papers and leaving the job that way and being forced off the job because of the vaccine mandate can cause a real crisis in public safety in this city.
So I'm looking now. There are several in the Bronx that got shut down as far as firehouses in the South Bronx, West Bronx, Mid Bronx. I mean, this is in Staten Island. They've shut down. And Frank Diaz, who's one of our multimedia journalists, he said he got a notice that a resident of New York died a couple of hours ago because the firehouse was closed next to him. And that person and the fires could have saved that person's life. So we're on
the way to a looming crisis.
Oh, we got a Republican candidate for governor of New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli, on the line with us. Could we see New Jersey flip too? It looks like Virginia's flipping because Youngkin is now leading Democrat McAuliffe by 8 points. And right now, you're neck and neck with Murphy there.
We are neck and neck, and I'm confident with the work that we'll do over the next 4 days, we'll flip New Jersey too. Phil Murphy's bad for New Jersey, and our campaign has done very well in giving people of New Jersey a choice.
Jack Cittarelli, what message do you think actually resonated with voters? Was it the taxes, the school, crime? What do you think it is?
It's a number of things, but the number one issue for New Jerseyans is always taxes. We pay more taxes than any other citizen in the nation, $100,000 more than anybody else over the course of our lifetimes, and we've got the highest property tax in the nation. And we just kept reminding people that Phil Murphy was the one that said to them, if taxes are your issue, we're probably not your state. I mean, talk about out of touch and tone deaf. He poked the people in New Jersey right in the eye. And we played that over and over again, that clip of him. And it's really resonated with New Jerseyans. Of course, crime being up, too. He's been the most anti-cop governor we've ever had. And what he's done to the criminal, to the public schools, has been very dangerous to our children. So those have been the main issues that we've talked about, and I do believe that message has resonated and will make the difference on Election Day.
Ed Cox, I know you have.
Jack, Ed Cox here. You know, we had that dinner together in Aspen way back in the summer, the Republican Governors Association, and I thought I came out of that. You are a terrific candidate, and that's what you need in this kind of a wave year where we're really going to sweep, and it's going to be an earthquake when you win in New Jersey.
From your
I appreciate that, Ed. You know, the president, just as the president is failing the nation, Phil Murphy's been failing us here in New Jersey, but Joe Biden is off significantly with that important block in New Jersey, the unaffiliated independent voters, which are really the ones that dictate the outcome of a statewide election. And our message has resonated with them, as well as soft Democrats that live in various areas of the state where property taxes are so high. So we're getting a great plurality of voters all throughout New Jersey.
Jack, it's Richard Weinberg. Welcome back. What I wanted to ask you is, what's your vision for the governorship when you're elected?
It's very simply this. We lower property taxes with a new school funding formula. Two, we create more jobs by making New Jersey a better place to do business. As an MBA CPA and a two-time business owner, I know exactly what we need to do to our tax code to make it a better place to do business. Three, we need to downsize and streamline a bloated, inefficient state government that's been corrupted by special interest. Four, we need to support our local men and women in blue and our state police. Their job has never been harder. Crime is up because this governor has disarmed them, handcuffed them, and demoralized them. And five, we've got to get our public school curriculum back on track. We've got to be teaching critical life skills and providing vocational training for those kids that don't want or need to go to college and leave all that other subject matter for the kitchen table between parents and their kids. That's where that discussion belongs.
Jack, that is, Ed Cox again, that is something that will really appeal to the suburbs, and New Jersey is the ultimate suburban state, isn't it?
It really is. And listen, but we've done well, Ed, and even in the urban centers. I've spent a lot of time in our cities. Speaking to all the citizens there and the black and brown community, and our message has resonated with them as well. They're not very fond of Mr. Murphy.
No, I understood. And there are similar earthquakes are going on here in New York City, too, with the candidate selected by the Democrats to be their candidate. The most moderate candidate was selected here as their nominee in New York City.
That's correct. And we're seeing that in New Jersey. And you know, listen, New Jerseyans rejected Jim Florio after one term, Jim McGreevy after one term, John Corzine after one term, and this guy, Phil Murphy, is more extreme than the three of them combined. He's just not New Jersey. I mean, what person would say to New Jerseyans that he want to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast? That's one of the most taxed states, one of the most regulated states, with homelessness everywhere. Who the hell wants to be California?
And they're fleeing to go elsewhere. The Californians are fleeing that state.
Jack Cittarelli, what do you say to people that say, you know what, he doesn't have experience. He doesn't know what it means to be a politician. What does he know about running a state?
Well, he's failed his time and again. And you saw that with his handling of the nursing home situation. We lead the nation in nursing home deaths. You see it with one out of three small businesses on Main Street that have closed their doors forever. You see it with the businesses that are fleeing New Jersey. The most recent is Nabisco out of Bergen County. 600 good-paying middle-class jobs went to North Carolina for the first time in 63 years. Oreo cookies will not be made in Bergen County. And that comes after Mercedes and Honeywell. And yet, there are 276,000 fewer jobs in New Jersey today than there were pre-pandemic. The guy's been bad for the economy. He's bad on taxes. He's been bad for the schools. He's been bad for the community with his anti-cop rhetoric. So this election day presents an opportunity for a change.
And tell us about your hands-on business experience, please.
Well, as an MBA, CPA, two-time business owner, I've employed fellow New Jerseyans. My parents owned a restaurant bar. My sister's in business for herself. My brother's in business for himself. We understand business, particularly small business, which is the backbone of the New Jersey economy. And I've got some very, very bold reforms on how to make New Jersey one of the best places to do business and attract more capital and create more jobs.
Jack, John Katzmanthides, isn't it true to say that Americans in general and New Jerseyites are mad as hell as what's going on in Washington, and they could talk about their madness by voting for you?
Absolutely, John. I mean, Biden is off 16 points in New Jersey, which when it comes to federal office is considered a blue state. We're not a blue state when it comes to governor races. We've won six of the last 10. But Biden is off 16 points, and he's off more than 25 points, again, with that all-important block of unaffiliated independent voters because he's failing the nation on borders, on the economy with inflation, with regard to the supply chain. Look at his withdrawal from Afghanistan, which allowed for the reemergence of the Taliban. Even the New York Times called that withdrawal dangerous and careless. He's failed the nation. And Phil Murphy's failing here in New Jersey. And yet, who does Phil Murphy bring to New Jersey? People like Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Are you kidding me? Bernie Sanders keeps talking about progress. Show me the progress. We lead the nation in nursing home deaths. We have the highest taxes in the nation. We're number one in out-migration. Is that progress?
No, it is not progress.
No, it's not. Well, Jack, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck on Tuesday. And if I was in New Jersey, I'd be voting for you.
Well, John, I appreciate the airtime and the kind words. Listen, we're in it to win it. We're going to finish strong over the next 4 days, and I'm confident in the outcome.
Thank you. And let's take a break. And when we come back, we understand that the president of the Firemen's Union is calling in, and they had a 5 o'clock deadline.
Correct,
and
regarding
he's
the
give
vaccine
us an update. What's going on?
A common sense recap of the day's biggest stories. It's John Katzimatidis and Katz at Night on 77 WABC. Breaking news, WABC.
Right now we have a report from the streets of New York City regarding the vaccine mandate, which hit 5 o'clock. On the line with us right now is Andy Ansbrough. He's the president of the FDNY Uniformed Firefighters Association, the union. Welcome, Andy Ansbrough. What is going on? We're hearing about a lot of firehouses being shut down as a result of this.
Right. Well, right now I'm in Engine 1, Ladder 24 in Midtown. Engine 1 is one of the busiest firehouses in America. They were closed down today due to staffing shortages. I've been reporting since the beginning of this that the New York City Fire Department has had a hard time keeping firehouses open due to the ongoing staffing shortage. My firefighters have been working three or four times in a row at sometimes just to keep firehouses open. Two is 24 hours. They're not supposed to work past 24 hours. And my firefighters have been doing that to keep the firehouses open. When the mayor sends firefighters home on Monday, it's going to cause an amazing shortage of resources in the city. We can't keep the firehouses open as it is.
What's going to happen if there's a fire in that neighborhood?
Well, what's going to happen is that the fire truck is going to have to come. The fire truck or engine is going to have to come from a further location. It's going to take longer for them to get there. And the more spread out the fire coverage is, the longer the response times are going to be. And the less fire companies that you have in service, the more runs each company is going to have to go to. It exacerbates the problem.
Are the lives of New Yorkers in danger?
Without question. Without question. The longer it takes to put water on the fire, the longer the fire is going to burn, the bigger the fire is going to get. City, New York City residents and also firefighters are going to be in danger due to the increased response times. But also, New York City residents, based on the averages last year, there's 1,400 medical emergencies every day, life-threatening medical emergencies every day. You'll have less companies, you'll have less ambulances, you'll have less police officers responding to all these things.
Andy,
there's also, on average, 80 heart attacks a day in New York City. There'll be less ambulances, less fire trucks.
Is there any discussions being taking place at all, or it's just on automatic pilot?
Our last discussion was 2 days ago. We made our requests to push the deadline back 30 days to give us the same deadline as the corrections union. We have not heard back from the city. Our members, some of them have gone and got vaccinated, but a lot of them are still waiting to get information on how this mandate's going to affect them, whether or not they're going to retire. They just don't have the information. It's absolutely unfair that New York City and the mayor has given our members 9 days to make this decision. The teachers had a month. The teachers union also had about, from what I understand, 40 to 50 negotiation sessions with the city. We had one. They have not returned a call to us yet about it. For this reason alone, we believe that this should be extended.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling in, and God bless
you're
you,
welcome.
And I hope everybody stays safe.
Thank you. That's what
I understand. On the line with us now is Larry Kudlow, our country's number one economist. Larry, are you there?
I'm there, John. How are you?
Well, the stock market is at an all-time high, and how are you feeling today?
Well, profits are strong. Profits are doing very well. Profits are the mother's milk of stocks. So that's a real good thing. Money is pretty easy. So I think stocks are going to continue to plod along. Also, I got to say, in Washington, Biden went up to the Hill. Excuse me. I have a little bit of a cold. Biden went up to the Hill on Thursday and asked his party to give him an infrastructure package and also a larger reconciliation budget package. And they ignored him. His party turned against him. They left him high and dry. So he goes out to today, yesterday, and today in Rome, and then he goes to this Glasgow, Scotland climate meeting with nothing. They, threw him under the bus.
Now, Larry, Ed Cox here. So he drew a red line in the sand, said, deliver for me, and they said, forget it.
And then he left town.
Yeah, then he left town.
It's an odd story, but where I'm going with this is I think the market, John asked about the stock market. The stock market likes it because a bunch of new taxes surfaced in this so-called framework bill, and they're very harmful taxes, minimum taxes for corporations for their domestic income and minimum taxes payments for their foreign income, and personal tax rates are now ratcheting higher. If you make $5 million, you have to pay more. If you make $20 million, you have to pay more. And you could say, well, they're just millionaires. But those are people that own and operate S-Corps and LLCs and wholly owned proprietorships. That's the backbone of the economy. So these are very nasty income tax increases. They're very nasty corporate. Because, Kyrsten Sinema stopped the hike in the corporate tax rate and stopped the hike in the income tax rate. But now they are going against her. They're going around her. And it'll be very interesting to see how she reacts to this, because they're basically, going to turn her into a liar.
Do you think it's a done deal, Larry, the framework?
No, I don't think anything is done. We had on our Fox Business show, we had Kevin McCarthy, and we had Mitch McConnell yesterday. We had a special on Save America, Kill the Bill. Today we talked to Elise Stefanik, who's in the Republican leadership in the House. And the reality is, no, they don't know, Eddie. They don't have any idea what's going to happen. There is no unified anything. In fact, there's no comprehensive legislative text. Okay, there's some parts of it are there. Nothing's coming out of the Senate Finance Committee yet. So it's all up in the air. Nobody knows. You may not have a deal for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Larry, it's to Richard Weinberg. What troubles me as I'm watching this and reading about this is they're making it up as they go along in terms of what programs are in, what programs are out, and the effect of the programs they're establishing. And second, how they're going to fund this. And I find that very, very troubling. It's like the Keystone Cops are running our finances.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think of it as Laurel and Hardy.
Okay, I'll defer to you, Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, the tax policy is being made helter-skelter. They're grabbing for revenues, and they're trying to tax investors, tax the successful people, tax wealthy people, you know, income leveling, income redistribution, in order to raise money to finance this enormous surge in the government welfare state. You know, Newt Gingrich calls this big government socialism, and I think he's quite right, actually, quite right. And you have massive incentives not to work, and really no employment incentives and no workfare in these new social welfare programs or quasi-entitlement. The term is, as you may know, Ed, the term is regular order. You go through the committees, you hold hearings, you have experts from both sides of the aisle, you try to work through the economic consequences of your spending and taxing decisions. None of that has happened. None of it. And that's one of the reasons this is a terrible, catastrophic exercise. And by the way, the biggest winner here politically is Glenn Youngkin, who's going to win in Virginia on Tuesday. Glenn Youngkin.
Well, we just had Cetarelli on in New Jersey, and that might be turning the tide, too.
Yep. I don't know as much, but I agree with you. It's going to be a strong anti-Biden vote.
When Virginia goes from +8 for McAuliffe to -8, that's 16 points. That might be a move like that might have an effect in New Jersey. New Jersey might not blame Murphy, but blame Biden and just want to make a statement.
When those votes are switching are in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., the blue suburbs, New Jersey is the ultimate suburban state, right? Mm. And so you're going to see movement there, too.
Larry, go ahead.
Parental involvement in education has become a massive issue. And the Democrats are on the wrong side of that issue.
Larry, Tesla almost went over 1,100 today. That is mind-boggling. is it possible with a little bit of inflation and the CEOs raising their prices to stay ahead of the curve that you might have a bigger stock market than we expect before the end of the year?
Well, it's possible because in the short run, inflation is good for stocks. In the short run, there's a limit to that. The statute of limitations runs out at some point. But demand is very strong, prices are rising, and the Fed is pumping in plenty of money. And now the federal government wants to pump in even more money. So, you could be right, John.
It Larry Kudlow.
A month ago.
Larry Kudlow, yeah, yeah. I have a question. I wanted to get your opinion on something. What do you think about the $450,000 in reparations for illegal migrants back in 2018? And also part two, Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago, she wants to launch a universal basic income program, about $500 or what is she saying per month for families in need. What do you think about all this supposed free money that the government wants to dole out?
Yeah, this is really more crazy stuff. Socialism running rampant. What Chicago needs is good law and order. That's what Chicago needs. One of the worst crime places in the country, and it's too bad because it's a fabulous city. But guaranteed income is a message that says we would rather you not work than work. We will give you all the benefits of working, but you don't have to work. So it's pure government dependency, a terrible idea.
So and
as far as the $450,000, I mean, that to me is inconceivable because you're giving reparations to families that broke the law. And, of course, the Bidens have an open borders policy, which itself is terribly, terribly wrong. And there's tragedy in this because families get broken up. But that's what every administration has done because they don't have the detention and housing areas to properly care for families with kids. So they get broken up, and it's terrible. But look, they're breaking American laws. And what you need here is comprehensive immigration reform, not open borders. And this is a tragedy. And this, 2 million people crossing the border, it's back to catch and release. They won't finish the wall. They're even appealing now. This is a crazy thing. The Supreme Court said it's okay to go back to the remain in Mexico order put in by the Trump administration. And the Department of Homeland Security under Secretary Mayorkas is appealing it. I mean, I don't know how you appeal a Supreme Court decision, but they want to go back again.
Oh, my God.
These are things that are just fundamentally catastrophic. And this has become a national issue because with regard to the illegals, we don't know who they are. We don't know their health. We don't know their virus story. We don't know if there's sex trafficking and or drug trafficking and or rampant criminality. I hate to say it, but that's what the evidence shows. That's what the facts show. And then all these big Democratic cities have become sanctuary cities. So there's easy in and easy out. There's no bail and there's no real detention. It's a terrible situation. And I think the country is furious at this. Absolutely. I'm for legal immigration. I've always been for legal immigration. Immigration has a grand tradition in this country. You might say it's the backbone of the country and the American ideal.
We all agree.
I'm not for breaking the law, and I'm not for providing there's welfare assistance, medical assistance, housing assistance, and now the proposed reparations for people who came in illegally. And I think it's a terrible idea, and it's going to be very unpopular.
Well, if people can identify as a man or a woman, can I identify as an illegal immigrant and get $450,000?
Absolutely.
Put in your application. Put in your application right now.
Right now.
If I can change my pronoun, I can change it. I'm illegal. So then give me $500,000.
I'll sign the papers right now.
Right, Larry?
Take the money and run, Larry. Take the money and run.
And then you'll tell
Larry
me where
Kudlow,
to invest it.
Larry Kudlow, thank you so much for calling in, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Bye, everybody.
Let's take a break, and I understand we have Alphonse D'Amato, Senator D'Amato, waiting for us right after the break.
John Katzenmatidis, 77 WABC.
With us now is one of the most common sense guys I know, and a former U.S. senator in New York, and one of the best senators we ever have. We have Alphonse D'Amato, Senator. What's up today?
John, I'll tell you, prices of everything are going up. Everything.
Did you buy a turkey yet?
The bacon, egg, and cheese for $6.
Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. You've heard of Jack Dorsey. You may not know. He's the owner of Twitter, okay? So he's not a exactly a fan of ours. But I will tell you this. He lays out something. He calls it, we're in an era of hyperinflation. And I have to tell you, if you take a look at just some, I'll give you a half a dozen products, okay? Things are going through the ceiling. In the past 10 months, prices have gone up 42% on oil, 40% on used cars, 26% on car rentals, 43% on beef and veal, almost 18% on bacon, 20% on fresh fish, 11% and climbing on a whole series of other foods. I have to tell you, when we hit the winter, you're going to have increases of 30 to 50% on heating your home, if it's oil or natural gas. Depending upon where you live, it could be over 50%. Incredible. And Biden, he's worried about who? The poor immigrants who came over here illegally, crossed the border illegally. And I heard part of your show, and now we've got this idiot of an attorney general. He is a moron. It gets the FBI to not go down to the border and check on the drug cartel. No, to go to school districts. And now he, think of this. You got this incompetent jackass, and I don't know if you saw him on TV, but he was horrible. He is now negotiating on behalf of the government, his Justice Department, and they come up with this figure of $450,000 that they're going to give to each person they find who was violated. $450,000. You come over here illegally, we'll give you $500,000. I mean, this is incredible.
Senator, and so, Senator Richard Weinberg, where's that money coming from, by the way?
Oh, the U.S. taxpayer. What do you think? The U.S. government is going to pay. So, Rich, I have to tell you, you want to talk about free school and all kinds of other programs you want to give? I disagree. I think it's a state obligation, number one, not a federal. But then when you have Biden quoting all these phony statistics in terms of that the World Economic Forum says we're 13th in the world as it relates to infrastructure. The Organization of Economic Development says we're 37th. Get this, in terms of educating our kids. I mean, you really believe this? That this is such a bunch of, this is his speech. This is such a bunch of hokum. And I have to tell you,
hokum? Not hokum.
I make a prediction. The American people are so outraged with respect to what the government, the federal government, tried to do to control teaching in classes and not allow to have parents comment, that you are seeing a revolution taking place right in front of our eyes. And it's in the next election that is taking place this coming Tuesday in Virginia. I predict that McAuliffe, the Democrat, who doesn't have the slightest idea, he's just a total political hack. He loses. The Republicans win Virginia. And that is because of Biden and his Justice Department policies and his business about teach whatever you want in schools, and parents shouldn't raise their voice. They shouldn't be allowed to come in. They shouldn't be able to complain when their daughter gets raped. That poor guy, who the way they handled him, it was incredible. He comes in, and the next thing you know, he becomes the criminal. They attack him. They arrest him. Terrible, terrible. So I think the people have had it. They're fed up, and I think a lot of Democrats are going to stay home, and some are going to vote Republican. And in Virginia, you're going to see it take place.
What about New Jersey?
Jersey, much tougher. They already voted 600,000 before things began to get as bad, because the last 3 or 4 weeks have been horrible, horrible. And Jersey is a heavily Democratic state now. They've got a powerful special interest groups. They spent a fortune. That's a much, much tougher situation. I think it's very, very uphill.
Yeah, Ed Cox here, Senator. We've got a great candidate there, Jack Cittarelli. I spoke to him during the summer out in the Republican Governors Association. I was very impressed, and this is a huge wave. As you know, you can see it growing in Virginia in the suburbs there. New Jersey's the ultimate suburban state. We could take that one.
No, Judge.
That's Ed.
Judge, you have Newark, New Jersey. You have Union City. You have a lot of big urban centers, and the Democratic vote there is built in. Now, and I think they really went out and harvested them early. They had 600,000 votes. So I think if you didn't have that early voting, Cittarelli would have a much better chance. But they've already voted, many of them, and I think it's very uphill. I really do.
Well, thank you, Alphonse D'Amato. Thank you so much for calling in, and have a great weekend.
Well, you too, John. Keep calling them the way you see them. Oh, by the way, what do you think of the governor's race now?
Well, let's talk about the governor. If you have a couple more minutes, I think he's getting a bad deal. I think
Cuomo, you mean?
Cuomo, Governor Cuomo. I think it comes down to he grabbed me, and she's saying he grabbed me. He's saying no, I didn't. And what they're doing is stirring the pot. They'll go until they go to court, and then he can't run for governor again like he wanted to. Is that what's happening? I mean, who's the judge here?
I think it's doubtful that he would have run in any event. I think you're going to see a tremendous battle between Tish James and Governor Hochul. Both of them are smart. They're tough. And that is going to be some incredible battle, the one coming up. As it relates to Cuomo and what he has to go through, I wish we didn't have to see that he didn't have to be part of it, but it is what it is. But watch out for this governor's race. This is going to be some battle with two strong, determined candidates. And who knows who else might come in.
Yeah, what happens with Jumaane Williams? He came close to defeating Hochul on the lieutenant governor's race.
And he announced yesterday that he's running.
If Jumaane Williams gets in, he's just positioning himself. He opens the door to Hochul pretty wide. He splits and takes.
He splits
a good
up the black vote and
the Brooklyn vote. Yep. The Brooklyn vote.
And the Brooklyn vote.
Right. Yep. So I doubt. I think he's posturing to see what benefits he may be able to accrue. And certain people are going to want to do anything to keep him from coming into that race.
Judge Weinberg,
because if he goes in, it really becomes tough. Yeah, what's your question?
I have a question. So there are reports that Governor Cuomo will be fingerprinted. They're going to take his mugshot. What do you think this is all about? It seems a little excessive. I'm not a fan of Governor Cuomo regarding the nursing homes.
You're asking the senator that or the judge that?
I'm going to ask both of you that. I'll ask you, Judge, first. Is this procedural? Is this normal?
The short answer is it's the process. They gave him a desk appearance ticket. He'll show up in court. He has to be fingerprinted. They go
Will
through
he get
the process.
A perp walk?
That they'll make special arrangements, I'm sure, to avoid
Can
that.
I be
there'll
there?
Be cameras there. They'll ask the judge who's presiding whether they'll allow cameras and photographers in the courtroom. They'll ask him if he wants to enter a plea. They'll enter a plea of not guilty. It's a criminal complaint. It's not an indictment. The law allegedly violated is the forcible touching law, which means it has to be aggressive and forceful. And it's not just that somebody touched me and I didn't want to be touched. It has to be really something strongly physical. Okay.
That's
the law.
Senator D'Amato, through his spokesperson, Cuomo's spokesperson, said that he thinks this is like a political witch hunt. What do you think?
Well, look, if I were there defending him, I would say the same thing. I think it's unfortunate that it is taking place. But, if you were an alleged victim, and let's say you were a victim, you might want to, and I'm sure this didn't take place without there being a complaint. Is that right, Judge?
Yes, there's a signed complaint. There's a signed complaint,
yeah,
Senator.
This woman made a complaint. So,
yeah, but it's her word against his.
Well, the court will determine, and the jury will determine, because I think he's going to want a jury, who's telling the truth. And remember, the standard is beyond a reasonable doubt, even in a
misdemeanor case. I can't believe that it's one person's word against another person's word, and with no other witnesses.
If there's nothing else.
And if that's
judge,
else,
what would you rule?
If that's not,
I would direct a verdict against it. If you just have a liar's contest.
Say it clearly. What would you rule?
I would rule that they haven't made out the charges. They can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Would you throw the case out of court?
Yes, I would.
So in other words, you would throw it out.
So, Senator, if he's acquitted that way, what does that mean for him? Can he then get in the race?
I doubt if he could get into the race. I mean, he could, but...
Technically he could.
I don't...
There's no reason. He's not guilty of anything. He can go out and say, I'm innocent.
John, yes. He may be innocent and proven innocent, but that still will not relieve him of the heavy burden of all of the accusations cumulatively that have taken place. Let's not kid ourselves.
I understand.
And women will be outraged. I think he would have a difficult time, and I don't see that it makes any sense. You think people are going to be voting? I'm voting because I think he's innocent or he's guilty. That's not what elections should be about. And I think for the sake of his family, for the sake of his daughters, for the sake of his mother, he ought to put this aside and look for another way to move forward. That's my own
Understood.
Opinion.
Senator, we're over time. Thank you for calling in today, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Good, John. Take care now. Bye.
It's a common sense recap of the big stories. It's Cats at Night on 77 WABC.
This is Cats at Night. John Katzmatidis on the line with us right now is former chief of staff to Mayor Giuliani, Tony Carbonetti. Tony, with everything going on in the city, now the vaccine mandate, we're hearing about firehouses shutting down, EMS workers not being able to work sanitation. Could we see a return to the bad old days before Giuliani came in?
Well, the sad thing is, I think we were headed there even before the mandate. Some of the videos you watch going around about the things happening on the subway, it's horrifying and it's scary to watch the people accepting it. I mean, we're back to the days of people putting their heads down and watching their fellow citizens get victimized. And it's really a sad thing to see.
I mean, can the city operate with 20% less firemen and 20% less policemen, et cetera?
Well, can it operate? It has to, but people are going to have to wait longer, right? I mean, these are people that are on the front lines. They work harder than anyone, and they're going to continue to put out their best effort. But if they're, you can only physically do what you can physically do.
Tony, who's going to pay that price?
911 calls will be longer. The victims, the people that pay the price are the victims, the people calling 911 for either a fire emergency, a health emergency, or, someone being victimized by a crime. They're going to have to wait longer. It's really terrible.
Well, what a mess.
These people, they spent all last summer without being vaccinated on the front lines, and now they're saying that they're educated and they've made a decision they don't want to get it. That should be their right.
Because a lot of them already had COVID. That's why a lot of firemen...
immunity.
They have
exactly.
Natural immunity. And natural I want to ask you, Tony Carbonetti...
And they're not given credit for the natural
immunity.
Exactly. That's the big thing. And Tony...
They're making an educated decision. It's not like it's not available to them.
And the number of cases are going down, not up.
And
I lived with it last year.
We have the antivirals on the horizon.
Yep.
Who are the majority of the victims? When the fire, the police, the EMS, who are they responding to? People usually of the lower income areas, right?
Yeah. Oh, the police, you can just look at the numbers. Okay. It's all in the lower income neighborhoods. And those people will tell you they want more police. It's the idiot politicians that the progressives that will say they want to defund the police. I see in Chicago, they've defunded the police and now they're giving away money just for free. Perhaps.
Well, Tony Carbonetti, we're out of time, but thank you for calling in, and thank you for what you've done for the city and continue to speak out for the city. Thank you. Judge Weinberg, thank you. Ed Cox, thank you. Lydia Serrani, thank you for holding us all up. God bless New York.
TGIF.
TGIF, and God bless America.